Well, I think Dr. Rock-Levesque's presentation really does a good job of highlighting the impact that vision problems can have on learning. So I think it's really important to start thinking about creating some sort of interface between the learning environment and the vision care that we're providing. So today I'm going to talk about a partnership between the New England Eye Institute and Boston Renaissance Charter School, where we've created a school-based model of vision care. So I do not have any personal financial relationships or commercial interests in this presentation. So before I get into discussing what the model of vision care we've used is, I think it's important to understand the scope of vision problems in children. About 25% of children do have some sort of vision problem, many of which are correctable. And certainly if you look at the Healthy Vision 2010 objectives, we see that vision problems in children have been identified as a significant public health concern. And I think particularly because uncorrected vision problems can affect a child throughout their lifetime. So when we think of all of the things that affect a child's wellness and well-being, particularly in the school environment, vision is really weaved through all of those things. Think of academic development, social and emotional development, and physical development. And when you think about it, children take in a ton of information through their vision. About 80% of what a child learns is taken in through their vision. So you can imagine that if a child has reduced vision, you're really limiting their access to information. So think about seeing the school board at school, the chalkboard at school, or accessing the print in a book. So for all of these reasons, it's really important to make sure that we're both identifying vision problems as early as possible through screening programs, but then also going to the next step of actually treating vision problems. So there are a number of groups that are working on identifying the most effective screening protocols to identify vision problems in children. But as I said, the crucial next step is making sure these children are actually accessing follow-up care so the vision problems can be treated. Unfortunately, this has been a big challenge. About 40 to 65% of those children that are referred after vision screening do not access follow-up care. And this gap is certainly largest for children of ethnic minorities. Even for those small proportion of children that do reach follow-up care, the delay is quite large. It's about 18 months from vision screening referral to the follow-up care with an eye care provider. So when we think of screening programs, particularly in the school environment, it usually falls largely on the shoulders of the school nurses. And those school nurses often end up acting as case managers trying to get the children from that screening referral to follow-up care. But I think, you know, given all of the challenges that and the responsibilities of the school nurses, this is a huge, huge burden. And also in talking to a number of school nurses and teachers, they often don't get feedback from based on what happened at the vision exam. So that makes it much more difficult to support the recommendations that are made. And I definitely think that the school health office and teachers can be key allies in implementing some of the recommendations that we make as eye care providers. So some of these challenges come from barriers to accessing care and treatment. And I think a biggie is knowledge. Many parents do not understand the difference between screening and a comprehensive exam. They may not necessarily understand the potential impact of vision problems. They may not be aware of resources that are available to them and may have trouble navigating the healthcare system. Other barriers are cost, time, transportation, language, culture, and trust. So in order to try to address many of these barriers, we've kind of gone to where the children congregate, where there's a trusting environment, where the children are surrounded by many professionals that are invested in their well-being and that interact with them on a daily basis. And I think that's a key thing as well. So certainly there are many school-based health centers throughout the country that address varying needs, but there's very little information about vision centers in school-based settings. So the New England Eye Renaissance School Vision Center is a partnership between New England Eye Institute, which is the clinical arm of the New England College of Optometry, as well as the Boston Renaissance Charter Public School. And it actually opened in October of 2007 rather than 2008, it says there. So we've been open about a year and are just getting kind of full swing into our second year of practice. The Vision Center is located right in Boston Renaissance Charter School, and it's the second school-based eye clinic in Massachusetts, the first being Framingham Public School Vision Center, and this is essentially a replica of that project. So Boston Renaissance is an urban K-1 through 6 charter public school So kids ranging from about 4 years old to 12 years old. There are 1,278 students housed within this one gigantic building. About 76% are Black or African American, 18% Latino or Hispanic, and there's a small population of Asian and Caucasian children as well. And of note, about 76% of the children are on free or reduced meal programs. So here we have a population that is at high risk of not accessing follow-up care and also at high risk of experiencing vision problems in general. Also of note is that they have an excellent team of educators and other specialists at the Renaissance School, but admittedly, vision really wasn't on the radar prior to the Vision Center being started at the school. So the Vision Center is open to all students, family members, and staff, and we felt that it was really important to include family members and staff in that patient group in order to help us become integrated into the system, to help establish trust, break down some of those barriers, and it's also a wonderful opportunity for education about the impact of vision problems on learning. The Vision Center has a small staff. It's staffed by an optometrist, myself, as well as a patient care coordinator. And this patient care coordinator has a huge responsibility, and they're crucial in making sure we're supporting the school health office in completing the referrals, also in gathering consent forms so that we can see the children during the school day, and in general, just in helping us integrate and educate into the environment. Our patient care coordinator is a Renaissance parent, so it's been very helpful to have her there. Also, the Vision Center is a teaching clinic. As I mentioned, it's associated with the clinical arm of the New England College of Optometry. So we do have final year students that rotate through the clinic, and it's been really exciting to see them gain a better understanding of a holistic approach to vision care, and many have said that they want to continue this type of approach throughout their career. So it's kind of exciting to see that happen as well. We do provide comprehensive eye care services, vision therapy, and optical. In general, for payment is self-pay, the majority through insurance, about 80% is through our Medicaid program. Now, the New England Eye Institute is a 503c corporation, so we are able to provide an affordable eye care program that's based on income and family size. And we've also established a number of relationships with community partners so that we can provide glasses to children who can't afford them or who need replacement glasses. So no child will be denied because they can't pay for glasses or because they can't pay for their care. So this slide just outlines our model of community outreach. And I think the first step in integrating and reaching out to the community is education. So we educate parents and guardians, educators, school health officers, as well as other healthcare providers about the potential impact of vision on learning. And we do this through parent advisory board meetings, the staff meetings, email updates, newsletters, and just other kind of open discussion forums. So it's been really interesting. And I think it goes the other way, where I've been very interested to see how I can best support the educational process. So it's been very educational on the flip side as well. So the next part of this process is the visual function risk assessment. And the primary way that we identify children as at risk for vision problems is through vision screenings. And we were lucky in that Renaissance had already partnered with New England Eye to create a good comprehensive vision screening program prior to starting the clinic. And that's continued. So every year, every child at the school is screened. And those children that are identified as at risk for vision problems are referred for a comprehensive eye exam, and the Vision Center is offered as one alternative. We do certainly do support children accessing healthcare in their community if that's where they're most comfortable as well. Another way that we can identify children at risk are through the educational assessments. So any child that is identified as having academic concerns or behavioral concerns is referred for a comprehensive eye exam at the initial part of the evaluation process. So we're able to either rule in or rule out and treat vision problems as early on in the process as possible so that we're essentially eliminating one of the barriers to care. And certainly we do get some referrals from the medical community as well. So all of these things feed into the on-site clinic, and I think here we're certainly providing a service. In addition, we're also able to provide individual feedback and education about the individual students that we're seeing to the entire educational team, and this is certainly a back-and-forth process. And I think having the on-site clinic is also a referral basis and can act as a liaison between kind of the school health process and the external medical process to make sure there's continuity there. So you can see here we really have a true integration of resources to give holistic care with multidisciplinary input. And I think that the big benefit here is that we can have that continuous communication among all the professionals. And the other key thing is that it's happening in a timely basis, so we can really nip any issues in the bud very early on. So here we can see that we've minimized many of the barriers to care that we were worried about in the first place. Trust, we've maximized communication and continuity between the school and home within the school. We've created an accessible and convenient environment. The on-site optical allows us to make sure that any child that receives a prescription is actually following up and getting their eyeglasses. That's the next step. We can fix eyeglasses very quickly. And we've also minimized many of the financial barriers to accessing care or accessing eyeglasses. So next I'm just going to go through a couple of case examples that demonstrate at least individual impact of the Vision Center on the children at the school. So Shaim was referred to us through his mother after breaking his glasses. And he had actually established comprehensive eye care with an external health care provider, but she was having trouble getting the appointment because there was quite a long wait, so that's how she ended up with us. So we did know that he had comprehensive eye exams. He'd been identified because he was premature. He had retinopathy of prematurity and also retinal detachment. But the school really had very little information about his level of vision. So upon doing the exam, we found that his vision was quite reduced, about 20/70 in the right eye and 20/400 in the left eye. And this had been stable over time after looking into it. But again, the school didn't have any of this information. And evidently, this child is visually impaired and at risk for having academic difficulties if we don't provide the appropriate supports. So in this context, the school now had the information that they needed in order to implement the appropriate supports for both Shaim as well as his teacher. We were also able to act as a liaison between his previous health eye care provider and us, and certainly provide him with some glasses in a timely manner that he may have had to wait a couple of months for. And our second example is Hannah. She was a 4-year-old K-2 student, and she was one of those classic examples of being referred several times after vision screening but never accessing care. And she had had a fairly difficult home life where she'd been moving around from one place to another, so that may have contributed. But her teacher had noticed that she was having significant behavioral and learning issues. So we could evidently see that she did have an eye turn and she was quite farsighted and were able to treat that as well as treat her amblyopia. But I think the point that I want to highlight here is that we really had to work very closely with her teacher, with the school health office, as well as the social worker to have the consent form signed to finally be successful in allowing her to access care. So there are certainly many benefits to having this type of school-based center, but we also have to acknowledge some of the challenges. And we found that one of the overarching challenges throughout last year was changing the culture of vision care within the community. And we really had to put vision care on the radar. Another thing that was very evident was that every community is different. So even though we were replicating a model that was working very well, there were different issues that we had to face, and we certainly had to be very creative and use a lot of time and effort to address those, which was well worth it. Another thing that we noticed is that having the school-based vision center and the children attending the exam without their parents there at times does obviously limit the face-to-face contact with some parents at the time of the exam. So I think it's easy for there to be a shift in responsibility onto school health personnel to maintain the care. So we really had to make a concerted effort to involve both the school community as well as the parents in the process to empower them to know what they need to do to take care of their child's vision, and we can certainly support that. So I think I've given an example here of a sustainable multidisciplinary program that really promotes the educational process and supports the educational process for these children. And now that the clinic is going into its second year, we do have some more specific goals. Number one is just having a comprehensive eye exam for all children with learning difficulty or screening referral. Our numbers are certainly getting better, but we want to make sure that all of these children are accessing care. We also want to evaluate the impact of vision problems and treatments on learning and development, and I think that the presentation discussed today was an excellent example of that. We do need to continue to extend the community partnerships and supports to make sure that we can continue to give children eyeglasses as they need them. We want to further promote community education, and also our ultimate goal is to expand the patient base beyond the walls of the school. So that said, I just wanted to thank the people that are involved in the partnership, Boston Renaissance, the New England Eye Institute, and New England College of Optometry. Thank you.
We have time for a few questions, about 60 seconds worth.
Yes.
How does this fit in with the Massachusetts requirements, with the mandates in Massachusetts for children to be screened and then have follow-up exams prior to entering school? I guess my bigger question is, my understanding of that law is that it's primarily being delivered, the screenings are being done by pediatricians. Is there the communication back and forth between the pediatric offices and your program?
Right. You know, and I think it's easy to have that dichotomy there if we're not making a concerted effort to address that. Typically, for that law, the students must be screened when they're in preschool and then have to enter school. So we're definitely doing our best to communicate the results of our exams as well as the screenings to the pediatrician. Oftentimes, it is happening through the parents, and we're still working on making sure that that information is getting to the pediatrician so that there is that continuity of care. I would say that is one of the big challenges when we have this school-based care. Yes?
I noticed the schematic multidisciplinary care, OTs, you also have speech.
Yes, they're part of the team. Those were just a couple of examples. We've actually worked very closely with them. Yes?
Last question.
Right.
And then how does this relate to the rest of the school system and the way that school nurses and vision care is dealt with in the rest of the Boston public school system? And do you have a vision of how this could be, maybe the third part, this could be implemented in a school system or not? There's a lot of kids in one school.
Right, I know, and that's certainly something that simplifies the whole process, I think, to have all the children contained there. The Framingham Public School Vision Centers is open to the entire Framingham system, so we're hoping to move in that direction. And we're looking at two kind of ways to open it up. Number one, opening up new school-based vision centers in different schools throughout the community. And also opening up this specific school so that children can be brought in. Some of the major challenges that obviously we'd have to face were getting the consent forms and getting the children to care. So it would really require a very coordinated effort among, you know, the school nurses and the educational system there. And that's another reason why we really need funding to do that too.
That's it. At the end, we should have time for more questions. Thank you. Thank you very much. We